You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, I'm Mike Greenberg, and thank you for getting up with us on ESPN during this time of great change and frank discussion in so many places about the meaning of sports and the real importance of these games as they are played, and maybe more so when they are not. We have full coverage for you this morning with our insiders all ready to go. We've got Woj with us, Jeff Darlington, Jeff Passan. We start in the NBA and the room where it happened. Here we go. After the postponement of six games on Wednesday and Thursday, NBA players have decided to resume the playoffs. The players reportedly coming to that decision after meeting again yesterday morning. Exactly when play will resume has yet to be determined, but we have the right man to answer all of the questions for us. Woj is here. Woj, what more can you tell us, first and foremost, about what went into the players' decision to resume the playoffs?
You know, Greeny, ultimately, the players, you know, thought long and hard about what they would lose by leaving the bubble. You know, start with the platform with the world watching the NBA playoffs and the movement to try to right, you know, so many of the social injustices in this country, losing that platform financially, what they would have lost in the short term, and then potentially the long term. The owners have the ability to terminate this collective bargaining agreement. The executive director of the Players Association, Michelle Roberts, laid that out again to the players in that meeting two nights ago. And then competitively, they've invested in these playoffs. We are headed into the second round of the playoffs with Toronto and Boston. And I think ultimately all of those factors played in to the players' decision to continue these playoffs.
And so when, Woj, should we expect to see games resume?
Saturday. I think the league will make a formal announcement on that at some point today, but the playoffs are expected to resume on Saturday, and we'll pick right where we left off on Wednesday.
Okay, fair enough. And so again, the games that were not played will be played. It will ultimately have been, as some described it, a pause in the schedule, and they will just go on. So what else would you say are the next steps now for the players and the league as they move forward?
Greeny, the players and the owners had a conference call last night, and they talked about more partnership with these issues that are important to the Players Association. And you're going to see, I think, among other things, more of a focus between now and the November election on voter registration, voter suppression. You're seeing teams around the league, you're seeing it all over sports, but in the NBA, teams using their arenas and their facilities as polling centers. The Houston Rockets now using their Toyota Center in downtown Houston for the November 3rd presidential election. And I think you're going to see a greater focus, I think especially on voter suppression in susceptible areas all over this country.
That's Adrian Wojnarowski is all over this, all this entire weekend beyond. Woj, thank you as always, and we'll check in with you a little later this morning, but again, expect games to return tomorrow. To the NFL, we go next, where nine teams canceled practice yesterday. They included the Jets, the Packers, the Colts, the Titans, Broncos, Cardinals, Chargers, Bears, and the Washington football team. Meanwhile, the Giants haven't ruled out the option of sitting out a game in the regular season to protest social injustice. Here is Saquon Barkley.
I can't really just go and speak on behalf of the whole league, but you know, I mean, for us, that's something that we're going to talk about within our groups, within our team, and you know, what's talked about in players in meetings, and players' meetings stays in players' meetings.
All right, interesting. There, we bring in our Jeff Darlington here. Jeff, Saquon talking about sitting out regular season games. What are you hearing around the league about that possibility?
Well, Greeny, I spoke to a number of very high-profile players last night, and I definitely sense that these conversations about what to do, perhaps canceling games when they start to occur, is certainly a major topic of conversation. Now, one player, though, did tell me. Now, it doesn't feel like there's any dissension about what to do here, but there certainly seems to be some very healthy conversations. One player pointing out, a high-profile quarterback telling me, that games and money are our biggest allies right now. You want to stay in the media and control the narrative if you want to affect change. This player pointing out that the NFL is a very different beast than, say, Major League Baseball or the NBA, in the sense that players are getting paid 1/16th of their salary each week. Dak Prescott making $2 million per game, that $2 million can affect change in great ways rather than be forfeited. So certainly an interesting topic there. Now, I did ask another player how he felt about that, if he thought that games could be canceled. His answer, Greeny, very poignant. He said to me, I don't know yet. If black people keep on getting killed, then ... You can read between the lines there. This is a very hot topic within the NFL circles, and certainly a discussion that will be had all the way up until these games do start week one.
Absolutely. And if there's one thing that we've seen from the NBA the last few days, the leadership amongst the players, Chris Paul and some of the others, have talked a lot about whatever they do, doing it together, about being unified in what they do. I know that you can't talk to literally everyone, but do you get a sense generally that there is unity? You see, some teams practice, other teams don't. Do you get a sense there is unity in the way this stuff is viewed amongst NFL players?
I would say that there is a unified voice, in the sense that a lot of these players are obviously recognized that change needs to be had. So I wouldn't call it divisive by any means. Instead, the conversation I just noted about, hey, some guys say that, no, we need to be in the face of the media. That's, you know, maybe a different viewpoint than guys that say we need to potentially cancel games. But I don't sense that it's tense. That one player I was talking about, the quarterback, was telling me about some change that the team actually is coming to in terms of initiatives that they're starting. So I think that there's some really good things on the horizon that don't necessarily just mean canceled games.
All right, Jeff Darlington, well done. Thank you, my friend. And we'll see you again soon as we continue to follow all of this. We're having some technical difficulties getting Jeff Passan in for our baseball conversation. So I'll bring Tim Hasselbeck into the conversation and pick it up there, one of our football crew. Good morning, Tim. And I just wonder what your thoughts are as we see different teams canceling practice yesterday and trying to assess the meaning of that, and then the possibilities involved of NFL games. Again, the NFL season kicks off 2 weeks from last night. The possibility of games ultimately being missed during this time, I wonder what your thoughts are.
Yeah, there's obviously a huge distinction in the NFL. Jeff alluded to many of them, between, you know, canceling a practice and canceling a game. And I think even some of the comments that Woj made about some of the decisions that NBA players, you know, the conversations they were having about, you know, skipping games or canceling the rest of the season. You think about the platform, which is obviously what, you know, Jeff is alluding to, and you think about the financial ramifications, alluding to what someone like Dak Prescott would be giving up, and also what he could do with, you know, the money that, you know, he would make during that time by missing a game. And then you think about, you know, the longer-term ramifications, and if you were going to sit out an actual game, if that would, in fact, have an impact on the labor deal, the labor agreement that you, you know, recently came to with the NFL and the owners. So, look, I think that the NFL is probably, you know, significantly further away from canceling games than the NBA, just because of the number of guys and then the different ramifications and sacrifice, you know, for each individual player.
Yeah, so we've seen it in the NBA, and now the football teams canceling their practices. Tim, thank you. Stay there. Let's get then to the baseball, where seven games were postponed yesterday in protest of the police shooting of Jacob Blake. The Mets and the Marlins came out to the field, observed 42 seconds of silence in honor of Jackie Robinson. Lewis Brinson put a Black Lives Matter shirt on home plate before both teams walked off the field.
It has to continue. It can't just be tonight that we make that message and me laying down the shirt on home plate and that's it. It's just, it has to be a movement. It has to be continual every single day, every moment that, or every chance that you get. This needs to be emphasized.
Interestingly, yesterday, Cardinals pitcher Jack Flaherty, in frustration that some teams didn't play while others did, tweeted this, as you can see. Why is it so hard to do something unified for one day, just one day? We have reestablished our contact with our insider, Jeff Passan. So, Jeff, good morning. Seven games as a whole get postponed yesterday. Others are played. You hear Flaherty bringing up that question. Why was there no unified stance here in baseball?
Greeny, I'd like to make an argument against a unified stance here. And the idea that Major League Baseball would come together on the fly and tell all teams this is something you should do, this is what's good for the sport, is, I suppose, noble in theory. But in practice, the reason that the New York Mets and Miami Marlins did what they did yesterday, the reason that Lewis Brinson laid down the Black Lives Matter shirt on home plate, is because the teams got together and came up with that themselves. The reason that you saw seven games postponed yesterday and three games postponed the day before is because the players sat in meetings, had uncomfortable, difficult conversations, and came to the conclusion that playing right now simply was not the right thing to do. This was not mandated by the sport. This was not perfunctory. This was them getting to the point where they believed that this was what they needed to do in that moment. And to me, that is far more powerful than anything that a sport says, okay, this is what we're going to do on a particular day. And the fact that it's leading up to Jackie Robinson Day today, it shows me that the players are finally taking ownership of something that baseball players for the longest time have just passed off as something that NBA players do, that NFL players do, that other sports do, that baseball is not involved in.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. There's another thing I wanted to ask you about, Jeff, and this was something that set Twitter on fire yesterday. The New York Mets general manager Brody Van Wagenen was caught on a microphone yesterday. If you haven't seen it yet, here's what he had to say.
They're saying, you know, it'd be really great if you just have them all take the field. Then they leave the field, and then they come back and play at 8:10. And I was like, what?
What's that?
Rob. You know, but Jeff, scheduling's going to be a nightmare. There's so much at stake. And I said, Jeff, that's not happening. These guys are not playing. They're not playing, but that's Rob's instinct. And Rob, not exactly what you and I were talking about, at leadership level, he doesn't get it.
Okay, so that video leaks yesterday, and Van Wagenen then released a statement apologizing to the commissioner, Rob Manfred. That's the Rob he's referencing, saying he didn't know all the facts of the situation. He said Jeff, meaning Wilpon, proposed an idea of playing the game an hour later. I misunderstood that this was the commissioner's idea. In actuality, it was Jeff's suggestion. My frustration with the commissioner was wrong and unfounded. And as I bring my Jeff back into the conversation here, Jeff Passan, nothing could be more 2020 than a videotape going viral like that of a guy wearing a mask, talking to someone that you can't see about the wrong person. And then when the Mets release their statement criticizing him, their own general manager, they misspell his first name. So with all of that as the context of what happened here, what are we supposed to make of it?
Greeny, if you ever wondered what it looks like when somebody is biting his tongue on live television, that was the face that I had right there, because this is all so completely absurd. I've never seen a general manager get ripped up and down by his owners, the point where they haven't even spelled his name correctly. And beyond that, Greeny, the rhetoric that was in Fred and Jeff Wilpon's statements about Rob Manfred was extraordinarily dear leaderish, like way, way too over the top. This whole thing is absurd, and it's really unfortunate that it took away from a moment on the field yesterday that deserved all of the attention.
Yeah, you're 100% right about all of that, particularly the last piece. Jeff Passan, thank you. I'll come back to you as our morning continues. We're just getting started. Coming up, we're going to go live to Tampa's training camp. Brady and the Bucks are on the field this morning. Any doubt that everyone there is on the same page? We will answer those questions, and we will go back inside the NBA's bubble. After two emotional days, what are the next steps? How soon do we see these players back on the court? Those are the questions. We'll have the answers. This is Get Up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will cap off a week of practice with a simulated game at Raymond James Stadium today. The first of two they will play in the absence of preseason games. Tampa opens the regular season September 13th. It's 2 weeks from Sunday against the Saints in New Orleans. And we are getting very used to having Jenna Lane with us here as the Buccaneers get set to start their season. Jenna, what are the plans for Tom Brady specifically today in the closest thing he's going to have to a preseason game?
Greeny, in talking to Coach Arians, he likened it to a preseason game. He said that Brady could play two offensive series. He could be taken out right after that, but if he goes three and out a couple times, he'll play a little bit longer. I talked to offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich as well, and he said that Brady has the offense. They've done the full install. He's just got to now rep it out. And we've seen those reps paying off in practice. The last time I spoke to you, he was getting better and better with Chris Godwin. Already had some good chemistry with Mike Evans. He's getting better with Godwin. He's also really grown in his connection with O.J. Howard and also Justin Watson.
All right, so that offense coming together as they get set to start again with a critical divisional game on the road. Meanwhile, Jenna, I want to play for everyone in case they didn't see it. Head coach Bruce Arians addressing the media yesterday, talking specifically about protests that we are seeing across the NFL and across the world of sports. Here is what he said.
Your responsibility is to take action. I don't know that protest is an action. You know, I think each guy has a personal thing. I would beg them to take action, you know, find a cause and either support it financially or do something to change the situation, because protesting doesn't do crap, in my opinion. I've been seeing it since 1968.
That obviously got a lot of attention yesterday. What further context can you provide on those comments, Jenna?
Arians is speaking about his time in York, Pennsylvania, when in the summer of 1968 and 1969, there were race riots. He saw the National Guard driving up and down his street when he was a teenager. So he's speaking from a little bit of experience. And anybody that knows Arians knows he's very empathetic to the plight of African Americans in this country. He just wants to see things taken a step further. He supports players and the right to protest. He just wants to see action. I would also add this. Every city is different. Every team is different. This Buccaneers team is past the introductory phase with local law enforcement. In fact, part of their rookie transition program is actually doing a Citizens Academy training with the police department, the Tampa Police. I sat in on one of those last year. I took part in a lot of really productive discussions, and part of those discussions involved giving players an idea on the statistics of officer-related shootings, discussing African-American relations with police officers. And they also told these players, hey, if football doesn't work out, we want you to be part of our team. Come work for us. So this is a team that already has good relations with their police department. They just now want to have actions and be able to move things forward.
All right, Jenna, it's an interesting perspective there. Jenna Lane, thank you very much, and we'll certainly check in with you as they play what the closest thing that Brady will play to a preseason game. That's part of the story here. Obviously, the Arians comments of yesterday, another part. Tim Hasselbeck back with me, and Jeff Darlington, I will start with you here. What more can you share on those thoughts from Arians and the reaction that you have heard to them?
Yeah, I actually was speaking with a Bucs player last night, asking him if they were how they felt about Arians' comments, and specifically about the idea that protesting doesn't do anything. And his answer to me, I'll just read you his direct text that he sent me. Protesting is huge. What the NBA and WNBA are doing are paramount. That's real money, real games. But nobody cares about practice. A real protest is to miss games or even cancel a season. And it was actually that player who I then asked, do you see the season or games being canceled? And his response was, if black people keep on getting killed, then ... So look, I think it's a matter of the way that you're viewing the idea of protest. There are definitely players in that locker room with great respect for Bruce Arians. This player in particular was very clear that he's got no problem with Arians. But when you're having the conversation about whether protest is impactful, there are absolutely players in that Bucs locker room who believe in protest and who are willing to protest when that time is right.
Tim Hasselbeck, what was your reaction?
I'm somewhat surprised that it didn't become a much bigger deal. You know, a few months ago, Drew Brees basically said, you know, it kind of repeated a four-year-old statement of his that, you know, he didn't, you know, he's uncomfortable, he didn't like or wasn't going to support protest during the national anthem. What Bruce Arians has just said is basically, you know, that plus some more. He's saying they don't do anything. I mean, his direct quote is, protests don't do crap. And so, you know, I'm somewhat surprised that there isn't kind of more outrage over what Bruce Arians said coming after what Drew Brees said, when in fact, you know, it's not even an accurate statement about what protests do. So, look, I think that, you know, people can say, hey, I like Bruce Arians. Well, people like Drew Brees. I mean, it was a much different reaction. And so I think that's what's somewhat confusing about this situation. I would even say that Bruce Arians is in much more of a position of authority. He's a coach, you know, not a teammate. So a coach saying that is certainly interesting. So I'm just a little bit surprised. And I think there are going to be a lot of Bucs players that not only disagree, but are upset by the comments.
We will find out. Perhaps there'll be more reaction to that today. Guys, I'll leave it there for the moment. We have a lot more we want to do today. Let me take a quick break, and we'll come back with more football conversation. Since the Lions took the lead earlier this week, NFL teams are trying to impact change. How could that affect the upcoming season? We'll go in search of that answer next. This is Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and it has been an historic week in sports. On Tuesday, the Lions canceled practice in protest. Later that night, after his team beat the Mavericks, an emotional Doc Rivers unloaded his frustration, saying, "We've got to demand better." Then the following day, the Bucks didn't come out of their playoff game against the Magic, did not come out of their locker room, choosing not to play in protest. The NBA then decided to postpone the other two games scheduled for that night. The Bucks protest sparked a sea of postponements in other sports as well, including Major League Baseball, where three games Wednesday were postponed as other teams stood in solidarity with Milwaukee. And then yesterday, even more baseball teams choosing not to play, a total of seven games postponed in Major League Baseball. And in the NFL, multiple teams canceling their practices. But the biggest news of all yesterday, the NBA players voting in favor of resuming the playoffs. The expectation is that Wednesday's scheduled games will now be played on Saturday. Thursday's games will be played on Sunday, and the league will resume tomorrow. Woj told us that right off the show, the top of the show this morning. Mark Spears is in the bubble for us, and the big fella Kendrick Perkins with us here as well. Mark, take us inside those conversations. How did players' sentiment inside the bubble shift from Wednesday night, when we thought that there felt like a really good chance that everything was going to get called off, to Thursday, where the decision was ultimately made to continue to play?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Well, actually, Doc Rivers had a quote last night to a television station in L.A. saying that a lot of the players thought the season was over. There was a lot of depression in the bubble that night, a lot of emotion. That meeting was very energetic. There was some anger there. There were some great questions there. But I think after they woke up, really thought about what was going on and calmed down, they didn't want to go. They worked too hard to get here. And I think also these players realize that there's so much that they've been able to get from the media in terms of having access to the world on a daily basis. You know, hey, LeBron, he got a billion, you know, people following him. But now we're hearing from George Hill. Now we're hearing from Van Vliet. Now you're hearing from Doc Rivers, who during the pandemic, we didn't hear from him at all. So I think they're realizing that the strength they had, calmed down, had their meeting. And I swear that meeting must have been a really, really quick, because it started and the next thing I know, I seen these dudes going to lunch. And they look relaxed, and they voted to resume the season. And yesterday, actually, it seemed like for the first time in a while, there was a sense of calmness here, a sense of taking a deep breath, and also a reorganization that, all right, the players felt like the focus was going in the wrong direction. Let's refocus, and then also let's squeeze these owners for more.
Kendrick Perkins, I know, and I follow you. Obviously, we talk here all the time, and then I follow you on social media. So I know that in so many ways in your heart, you still feel like one of the guys. You still feel like one of the players. What are your thoughts on the way these last few days have gone and the way the players have handled it?
Well, I love it. I mean, in my opinion, when you look at the NBA players, I think they're using this bubble and this platform, and rightfully so. It's been huge for them. Like Mark Spears just said, you know, a lot of guys don't have that big following like a LeBron James. So it's good to hear from guys like Fred Van Vliet and George Hill. And when you think about it, Greeny, they have the power right now. They have a lot of power down there in that bubble. And I thought that if they would have walked away, they was going to give up a lot of that power. And I'm glad that those guys stuck with it, because for the simple fact, we're hearing that powerful message after a big-time win from Doc Rivers. He didn't come and talk about the win in the basketball game. He came and gave us a heartfelt, a powerful speech. When you look at guys like Jamal Murray, who had a big night, after the game, he didn't talk about his historical night. He talked about what's going on in the world. And I think right now they have a huge platform, and they need to use it and maintain their power and just make sure that they be unified.
Yeah, unified is the big word here, unity. I know that Chris Paul, the leader of the union, has talked a lot about that. Mark, clearly Wednesday night, there was not a lot of unity amongst the players. There seemed to be a lot of disparity in what players thought and what they wanted to do. How would you describe the degree to which everyone is on the same page now?
I think that's the only way they can be going forward. Chris Paul talked about being unified. LeBron James talked about being unified. So did Andre Iguodala. And I think the Bucks, while everybody kind of understood what they did and there was something going on in their state, the rest of the league should have been notified and it should have been a collective decision. So I think going forward, if anything comes to this level again, I think we're going to see a group decision in the same hotel instead of one team making it themselves.
And Perk, I guess I'll finish with you here. Just as a player, as the games resume tomorrow, after all of the emotion that we have seen and the pause, brief though it may have been, how, if at all, do you expect the games to be impacted as we all get set to start watching basketball again? How would you imagine this stuff will affect the players?
Well, I think they have done a great job, Greenell, balancing the two. When you look at this, at the way that they've been competing between the lines, they have done a great job. I mean, it's been a Mamba mentality all in the bubble, some of the best basketball that we've seen in a long time for us being competitive. But then outside of that, I think when you look at guys' social media account, when you watch guys like Mark Spears report things and Woj and Malika Andrews, when they report things far as like, you know, guys interacting outside the court, it's been a beautiful thing to see. So I think they'll continue to do what they've been doing, competing inside, in between the lines and being, you know, friends and having great fellowship outside the court.
I agree. It really is a remarkable line they have walked between taking both sides of this as seriously as they can be taken. I think that's a really good point. Mark, Kendrick, thank you guys both very much. We'll come back and talk much more basketball as we continue. But right now we go to Green Bay, which is about 155 miles from where Jacob Blake was shot in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Packers coach Matt LaFleur made it clear the team's decision to cancel practice yesterday was not a boycott by the players. Instead, he made the call. Here's LaFleur.
The stuff that's going on is much greater than the game of football. I think our guys want to play, but at the same time, they want to focus some of their efforts on making, again, making society a better place. I mean, this is a humanity issue at the end of the day, more so than anything else.
Our Packers reporter is Rob Domofsky. He's with us live, pardon me, from Lambeau Field this morning. Rob, how did this all come together yesterday?
Yeah, Greeny, what you said about LaFleur taking the lead on this is the most important thing to note. He did not want to put his players in a position where they had to boycott. They came in, they had their meetings before their normal 10:30 practice time, and he told us yesterday that those meetings were so emotionally draining and so extensive, and players were pouring their hearts out, that he didn't want to put them on the field or put them in a position where they had to boycott. And I'm told that was much appreciated in the building and within the locker room from the players. They really appreciated that leadership from Greeny, a young second-year head coach who's obviously never been through this. A couple of more things to note that are interesting. As you know, this is a publicly owned team. They do not have a single owner. But Packers president Mark Murphy spoke to the players and listened to the players. General manager Brian Gutekunst was in the room, and so was vice president of football operations Russ Ball. The point being that this was a unilateral organization decision, not something that the players necessarily had to go out and do on their own. And again, that feeling, that whole operation was much appreciated by the players. And how do they go forward from here? Well, the question now is, do they practice at 10:30 local time again this morning? I was told, Greeny, that they will meet again before practice this morning and get a feel for the room. But the feeling is that they will practice today at 10:30, but as you know, everything could change in a moment's notice in this fast-moving story.
All right, Rob, thank you. And we know that you'll be there to let us know how the morning continues. Meanwhile, let me bring my guys back in here. And for the first time, we have Dominique Foxworth with us. We had some internet issues with Neek, but we've got you. And then Tim Hasselbeck. Neek, what in your mind is the significance of teams not practicing, the Packers and many others yesterday? What makes that important to you?
Well, I mean, I think it's a show of solidarity that we've all seen, and I think it's a real big opportunity, and it seems that coaches like Patricia have figured out and LaFleur have figured out that it is important in this moment to use this as an opportunity, I think, to bring your teams together and to relieve the pressure that might be on some of your players. And taking that pressure off of them, I think, is something that they appreciate and certainly builds a bit of solidarity within the team. The impact that it has broader than this, I'm not so sure. And it's never that easy just to draw a straight line from demonstrations like this to what it will equal. But I think it's better to have them than to not, for the sake of the team and the sake of our society, frankly.
And Tim, how about the significance of the coach making that decision there? I'm not going to put this on my players. I'm going to make this call today so they don't have to.
Yeah, I think Rob Domofsky put it pretty accurately. I think some of the players, you know, thankful for that leadership. And I think that, you know, you asked Dominique the significance of it, and I think that, you know, that's a significant, you know, change or, kind of new development with what we've seen go on inside locker rooms and teams and organizations that, players that are obviously hurting and are emotionally drained, as Rob described the team meetings, that there's a head coach that understands, you know, what some of the players are going through and how they are feeling and how, you know, getting ahead of it and being a part of it can change the environment for those players and make them feel like they are being heard and people are understanding, you know, how they're affected by this.
And, Nick, let me come back to you because I'll remind everyone again, you were the president of the NFLPA at one point, which means, if nothing else, you have had a lot of experience talking to a lot of football players about how they feel about things, albeit a generation ago. What is your sense of the possibility that we will see NFL players boycott actual games in the way we've now seen in the NBA, Major League Baseball, WNBA, MLS, many other places?
I think that depends on the possibility of seeing something else as disturbing as we saw from the recent Blake situation or the Floyd situation or Breonna Taylor. If something like that happens in season, I think by the time the regular season starts, all the emotions that is built up now, I think, will subside. And I'd be surprised if players boycott a game based on what's happening now, a few weeks from now. But if something else happens throughout the course of the season, frankly, I'd be surprised if the players play coming off of something like that. The tenor of the country and the tenor of the players has changed that dramatically from a point where Colin Kaepernick was run out of the league for kneeling to a point where I think I would be surprised if we have another recording of violence by the police against a black person. I'd be surprised, frankly, if the player showed up on a Sunday to play a football game.
All right, so we will wait and see. We obviously hope that nothing like that were to happen, but the reaction of the players would be something to watch there. Guys, I'll leave it there for the moment. We're going to go on the field as we continue in a moment here because there's other news to talk about in Green Bay. You think the Packers are looking to the future after drafting Aaron Rodgers' replacement? We have reason to think the answer to that is not so fast, and you will hear why coming up next. This is Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and let's get up and go around the news in the world of sports. It begins with Tiger Woods struggling yesterday, finishing with three straight bogeys for an opening round 73 at the BMW Championship. He needs to finish around fourth to have a chance of advancing in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Elsewhere, eight Nebraska football players filed a lawsuit against the Big Ten seeking to invalidate the league's postponement of the fall football season and to award damages. The lawsuit states the postponement hurts the players' future football prospects and their ability to market and brand themselves. Meanwhile, after holding two of its Stanley Cup playoff games on Wednesday, the NHL, at the urging of its Players Association, chose to postpone games scheduled for yesterday and today, the league pledging to, quote, foster more inclusive and welcoming environments within our arenas, offices, and beyond. The WNBA postponed their three games scheduled for yesterday, but said the season will not be canceled and could resume play today. The 22-game regular season is scheduled to end on Saturday, September 12th. And our WNBA coverage continues tomorrow afternoon on ABC. Brianna Stewart and the league-leading Seattle Storm taking on the Chicago Sky. That's tomorrow, 2 Eastern, on ABC and on the ESPN app. Back to football and the Packers again. While they work their way back to the practice field, all eyes continue to be on rookie Jordan Love, the quarterback out of Utah State, who the Packers traded up to get. And for more, I want to bring Rob Domofsky back into the conversation because, Rob, you wrote an article for ESPN.com on the progression of the rookie quarterback. What are coaches seeing so far?
Well, Greeny, lack of progression might be a better way to describe it. At best, he's been indecisive. At worst, he's been inaccurate. Now, it is worth noting they've only had 9 practices. This is obviously an unusual offseason. But Matt LaFleur said the other day that you can't play quarterback and be hesitant, and you can't play tentative. Indecisiveness equals ineffectiveness. And when I told another position coach from another team what LaFleur said about Love, this position coach told me that tells me he's thinking too much. You can't panic over this. You don't bury the guy yet, but it is not necessarily the greatest sign. Now, Greeny, it's been a long time since Aaron Rodgers was going through his first training camp as a rookie way back in 2005, and it would be easy for me to stand here and say he went through none of these struggles. But to be sure, I talked to a scout with the Packers who's no longer with the team but was around in 2005, and I asked him, what was Rodgers like as a rookie? And he told me, don't you remember, he was ripping the ball all over the place. We haven't seen that from Love. All of his throws have been of the touch variety. Now, he does have a nice touch, but I have yet to see him just rear back and fire one. He's a placement quarterback right now feathering the ball in there rather than firing it in there.
All right, Rob Domofsky, really well done. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you soon. Let me get my football guys back in here, particularly my quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck. As you hear, I see the smile on your face. I'm trying to read it. As you hear that from, again, a guy who's had nine practices, what do you think?
Well, I do have pause because of nine practices, Greeny. But I also think this is a little bit, you know, not surprising. You have a rookie quarterback who is a, you know, kind of a raw, underdeveloped prospect coming out of college, who now finds himself in a, you know, NFL training camp and, you know, feels like he's drinking out of a fire hose, you know, probably mentally trying to keep up. So, yeah, that can make you indecisive and tentative as a quarterback. So, you know, from that perspective, I think that we need to be careful not to be too critical of Jordan Love. At the same time, we can look at, you know, the selection of Jordan Love, especially if you didn't like it back in April, and say, wow, this isn't good. You have a 13-3 football team from a year ago, a really good quarterback. You don't get him help. You draft his eventual replacement. And by the way, he might not be your backup quarterback this season. Tim Boyle might be your backup quarterback. Now your window for really evaluating Jordan Love, if he's going to be ready to replace Aaron Rodgers, continues to get smaller and smaller. And you may find yourself in a situation where you're picking up a fifth-year option on Jordan Love just to find out if he can actually play. So if you didn't like the pick in April, this helps you not like it even more. I do think it's a little too early to have a set evaluation on what type of player Jordan Love is going to be.
You know, Nick, as Rob was saying what he was just saying about how Rodgers was 15 years ago when he was essentially in the same position, it occurs to me that you got to be a pretty tough person psychologically to be able to handle these situations, right? He's been drafted into this. He hears all the same stuff everyone else does. He's in there dealing with it. We've now gotten to know that Aaron Rodgers is, and I mean this in a good way, a really confident, arrogant, you know, he's got all of those traits. But you kind of need that, I would think, to be in this position. And I think that's one of the things to keep an eye on here, Neek, as we see how Jordan Love is able to handle this mentally as well as physically.
Right. I don't know much about Jordan Love, about his psyche, but as everyone knows, this offseason and this so far has been really challenging for a lot of people. It has to be particularly challenging for a high-profile selection like him behind a superstar like Aaron Rodgers. However, on the bright side, if you want your quarterback to struggle at anything at this point, it certainly will be the mental side of the game. Like, we can explain that away for now, and you can coach that up, especially since he doesn't have to start right away. So I'd be much more concerned, not that this isn't a bit concerning, but I'd be much more concerned if they say that his arm wasn't what they thought it was, if he was inaccurate, if he didn't have the strength to go downfield. Being able to understand an offense, as Tim has already alluded to, is not easy. It's hard to do, particularly when you have nine practices and you had an abbreviated offseason. So I think this is not completely discouraging, but I'm not sure that it matters that much for this team this season, because I think if you're going to your backup quarterback in Green Bay, your season is probably over, whether it's Jordan Love or anybody else.
Fair enough. But if he Tim Hasselbeck made the point that if Tim Boyle does become the backup quarterback here, because you want to have someone who you feel confident can play if Rodgers gets hurt, Dominique, how significant would that be? The idea that he's not even ready to do that, and how, to the right point that Tim made a moment ago, how that will affect their ability to make a decision on him one way or the other long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be embarrassing. If nothing else, they need to figure out a way to not debilitate whatever confidence he has left if you put him there. And I understand you can't just put him above Tim Boyle if he's not playing better necessarily, but you have a large investment in this player, and you need to be concerned about the psychological impacts as well as the physical impacts of everything that you do for him. So I'm not sure that Tim Boyle has a chance to be the backup quarterback no matter how well he's playing. I assume that they're going to make Jordan Love that guy so that Jordan Love can get those reps throughout the season and so that he does not feel that this team has given up on him already. So sorry to say, Tim Boyle is probably going to be looking elsewhere no matter how well his camp goes.
Could this potentially, Tim Hasselbeck, change the trajectory of things for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I hate to ask this question, nine practices into Jordan Love's career, but could Aaron Rodgers, this could change the way we view this thing, I guess, ultimately, right?
Greeny, you've brought up two amazing points here. I mean, we think about this. Yes, this absolutely could change it. Look, if he is terrible, and you did reference, yes, we are nine practices in, so no one's suggesting that he is. But if he is terrible, and it is obvious that he can't play, then yeah, Aaron Rodgers in this foregone conclusion that he would not finish his career in Green Bay, that changes significantly. And look, we've seen it happen before, where just because somebody was drafted, you know, in the first round at the quarterback position doesn't mean they can play. And so if that becomes evident, then yeah, if you're the Green Bay Packers, you don't move on. And I do think it would be ridiculously embarrassing if Jordan Love is not able to beat out Tim Boyle to be the backup quarterback. You know, it's not like Green Bay is going to have to always give the distinction of who the number two and the number three guy is. But I think it'll be obvious to that football team who the number two guy is and who the number three guy is. And Aaron Rodgers has been hurt in the past. If they need a backup to come in and win a couple games so that they can win the NFC North, if you're Matt LaFleur, you're going to put the guy in that gives you the best chance to win. Doesn't matter that Jordan Love was drafted in the first round. So I think it bring up two great points that could really, really change the way things are viewed in Green Bay.
All right, we'll keep an eye on all of it. I mean, is it premature? Obviously. But we're 2 weeks from the start of the season. Let's see where it all winds up. Hey, Sunday morning on ESPN, our Formula One race coverage continues with the Rolex Belgium Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton goes for his fifth win of the season. That's Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up as we start a new hour here on Get Up, as the players and owners held separate meetings yesterday, what role did the GOAT play in saving the playoffs? You'll find out next. This is Get Up on ESPN.